Fly ball, center field. He hit it a ton. It's gone. And the 2010 Central Division Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds. Jay Bruce explodes the first pitch into the grass and straightaway center field. He is being mobbed by his teammates. They met him at home plate. They ran him up the first base foul line. They're approaching the mound. The bullpenners are coming out, and everybody's getting in on the celebration at the mound as the crowd roars here at Great American Ballpark. The first pitch, he rockets onto the lawn in straightaway center field. His 22nd home run of the season.
All right, Bob,
and this one belongs to the Reds.
The great Martin Brenneman is who walked me back, 23 past the hour, who's nice enough to join us from time to time on the program. Very gracious guy and a great ambassador for baseball, Marty Brenneman.
I wonder if you ever talk about baseball, it'd even be better.
Yeah, he is exactly right. He'll pontificate about anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I tune in and I don't even know he's talking. It's a baseball game. I mean, he's talking about Elvis or something or wrestling or WWF. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing? What about talking about baseball? And yeah,
you know what, Johnny? When you've been doing it as long as he has, we're joined by a Hall of Famer, Johnny Bench, who's here today for the Stryker Joint Pain Seminar. When you've been at I love it, Scully.
Yeah, I haven't heard him talk about wrestling or Elvis lately.
That's true.
Yeah, Ernie Harwell was the rest. He's in the Hall of Fame, of course, and you know, he just loves sports. I mean, you know, he was North Carolina. He bleeds blue and all the stuff that went along with that because of his association with that. But, I mean, he can talk all sports. And his son, Tom, has just done a terrific job. He's got you know, his network, and he's
gifted.
Yeah, he very well is. A very talented family.
Yeah. And, you know, some of those guys get there because of their name. And I'm sure being Marty's son helped Tom. But Tom's a kid who, you can tell, is very gifted, very good at what he does. Just like Buck. Those guys
work
hard.
You know, you know, the Careys, I mean, they had three of them.
Yeah.
They got into the business. They listened. They worked hard. They get, mm-hmm. Of course, you know, when you grow up listening to a voice, you know, it's like you just have it in the back of your head. And you have the lilt to it. You have, you know, the way you want to do it. You want to have your own style and become your own person.
Right.
But it's just, you know, those little nuances that make the difference when you're calling a ball game. And especially, and we see with the color and the play-by-play, Joe Morgan lost his job this past year, and now they've got two Dodgers in the booth, which...
Not good.
Nuts.
And they're under receivership.
Well, I mean, how can you have Dodgers in the booth? Come on. I mean, you know.
No, you have to have a red.
It's like having Bill Clinton. You know, I think Bill Clinton played with the Dodgers, too. So.
God, it's beautiful.
Well, they always sound like that. You know, it's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Holy cow, you know, you got to have somebody with a voice that's... challenging as we come to the facility.
Hey, so how did you get involved with the Stryker folks? Tell me about that.
Oh, it's easy. All you got to do is have two hits.
All right.
In fact, tomorrow is my 7-year anniversary for my right hip. I've had 17 broken bones. I've had a lung surgery. I had shoulder surgery, but I never knew the pain that I was going through. I couldn't get through airports. I couldn't function. I couldn't play golf. I'd get in the airport and I'd look for that little electric car to try to get me to the baggage claim. And it was so severe I couldn't sleep at night. It was just non-existent. And I actually went to the team physician. I said, I think I pulled my groin. The pain was so severe. He said, no, not a groin pull. Maybe it's a hernia. So I went and called for this doctor, and it wasn't a hernia. And I knew I had stenosis. I had a car wreck when I was 18 years old, a drunk driver on the wrong side of a 4-lane highway. And I veered to get out of the way and hit me right on the door. So the trauma to both hips and both joints in the back was pretty very severe. Mm. And doctors couldn't believe that I was in one piece. They said if I hadn't been so big boned that it would have broken me in half. So I happened to be at the golf course when a doctor who had performed a knee replacement on my mother from years ago was up visiting. He was from Cincinnati, the club champion and all that stuff, moved to Florida. And he said, hey, Johnny. I said, hey, Mort, how you doing? He said, I'm fine, but your hip's gone. And I said, what? He said, you got a lot of groin pain? I said, I can't breathe. He said, your hip's gone. So I actually had an arthroscopy with Dr. Tom Bird over in Nashville. Those are usually 6 to 12-month little band-aids.
Mm-hmm.
He saw me again that winter, and he said, you're not going to live like this. We're going to put the ceramic on the ceramic from Stryker. And we started working a couple of years later after the operation. I felt unbelievable. And he said the left hip would probably take a couple more years. It probably would last a couple more years. Well, about a year and a half ago, I was carrying the baby around. We have a small one-year-old now, 20 months old. But I was almost dropping him. I started to collapse with this left hip, so I called him. I said, I think it's time. He said, it is. I called Stryker. I said, you got any spare parts? I'm trying to get free stuff now, you know.
Oh, sure.
Swag.
Are we all?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Swag is good. So I actually, he said, well, you need to talk to Dr. Bertram. So I called Morton, and he said, what do you think? And he said, well, you would be the first in the country, in the U.S., ever to have an ADM, which is a mobile bearing hip, with polyethylene, the X3.
Right.
And I said, well, what do you think? And that's the way it should be. The doctor's going to put in the right one. That you're going to tell the doctor when you need the surgery. That's when it's
right.
done. You'll tell me, as the doctor will say. And he said, I think it would be fabulous. And so he's very innovative, very creative, and he works on pain management as well. I had the surgery. I got back to the room an hour later. I got up and walked to the door and back. 2 hours later, I walked around the hall. 2 hours after that, around the hall twice. That night, I walked around it three times. Next morning, up the steps, and he sent me home the next day. So I was in the hospital one night. So the ADM itself, and we've had great success working with you know, doctors trying to get competitive doctors to come in and try our Stryker products. But now with this new ADM, we really have something that we can show them. So we're going around the country. We've been in Florida. We're going to Lake Charles, Louisiana, and Beaumont. We're going to be in San Antonio, Austin, Houston. We're going to be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, New Haven, Connecticut. I don't know how far your radio is. It 50,000 watts? Can we get
50,000 watts?
Hey,
the worldwide stadium.
Saratoga Springs in New York. So we've got about 20 different venues that we're going to be at to talk about. We go in, we meet with doctors in a lot of cases on the night before and get them a PowerPoint,
right.
Show them what they're doing, and then we have a chance today, which is really my favorite, is that when the doctors can give a little PowerPoint presentation to prospective patients,
right.
People who have already had surgery, people who are thinking about having surgery, or friends of theirs are going to have surgery, and it's sort of, they're very well educated. I mean, with the internet, we're popping up the internet over here.
Sure,
got the thing going.
Right. I've got my
So
app
you basically
on.
Know everything, you know, what's going on. In surgery, the minimal invasive, you
right.
know. I asked my doctor, I said, you know, minimal invasive, because I wanted to be really, you know, like I was really hip to it. It was very, just new coming out. And I said, you're going to do that minimal invasive? And he said, nobody wants to see you naked anymore. And I'm going to get it in the way it's supposed to get in. So that's kind of the way it is. And I mean, at 60, you know, at that time, I was 55, and it's the best I've felt in 40 years.
Man, you look great.
I just feel great.
Last year I saw you back in the summer. I think you had just had that surgery.
I was
just still had it,
five months. Into it. Yeah, it was sort of.
I can tell you've been out golfing.
Golfing,
just enjoying
boating,
yourself, doing your thing.
Yeah, and the kids are 5 years old and 20 months old, and my goodness, I mean, life is just absolutely the best it's ever been. So. I'm very fortunate, thanks to technology.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's still, you gotta remember the baby boomers now, you know, they're all getting to be 60.
Right.
There's about 400,000 or 500,000 surgeries now this year.
Right.
Last year. And by 2020, there'll be 2 million hip surgeries. So, you know, I just hope that the doctors, we're gonna have enough doctors to do it with the healthcare plans and everything going on.
Hey, watch it, Marty. Don't get off on the healthcare stuff.
Well, we have to say that because the doctors aren't going to have, or it's not going to lead them into orthopedic surgery. Because, you know, you think about a doctor right now, he gets probably $1,100 a surgery.
Yes.
Where, you know, the major surgery, you know, is not it. And it's just not enough to carry a doctor with the skills they have of doing it. So I'm pulling for them, and I know that everybody's going to need a new joint. I mean,
The warranty
runs out on our parts.
Yeah.
and I'm just glad that we can see, you know, I've always asked the doctor, what's the oldest person you've ever put it in?
Mm-hmm.
And so, 105.
105?
There's
still
203s.
Golfing?
There's, 96 has seemed like is the lowest number of a doctor that's ever put it in. Yeah, and you know what? Why would you do it? Because they're still active.
Right.
And you know, and of course it comes in all sizes.
That's
it's
right.
not one size fits all. So
that's right.
They have a lot of things that allow us to live a better life, and that's the way it is.
You know, I'm convinced of that, too, as we age. Staying busy. I have an uncle who's 92 years old. I was visiting in Pennsylvania not too long ago, and I saw him, and he's still working. And I said, Uncle Tony, why are you still working? He said, why wouldn't I still work? He said, you get up and work? I said, yeah, I work. He said, well, got to have something. Man's got to have something to do.
Well, Bob Hope.
Yeah, I believe it.
George Burns. I mean, Bob, being active is unbelievable. I see people retire and they just sit there and they don't have anything to do. Their mind stops. They go, you know, their health stops and everything else. And my attorney's 87 and he's sharper than all the other tacks in the drawer. So it's just a matter of I enjoy what I do. It's easy to do. And, you know, what am I going to do if I don't do it?
As we're joined today by Hall of Famer Johnny Bench on the program, we're down here at Rothschilds. He's here today.
Great center down here.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a
really
beautiful
nice.
Place.
Very nice.
Keith and I were talking before we came in today. Great setup. Johnny, it's baseball in April right now. Baseball anytime beats any other sport that's on in my mind. But, you know, I was listening to WLW last night. They're panicking over the Reds struggling against the Dodgers and against the Diamondbacks and the weird deal with Mike Leake, which hopefully was a misunderstanding earlier in the week. But let me ask you something about April baseball. Because I was reading a book about one of the great seasons you guys had back in the mid-70s. And you can't judge a team by April baseball. But then at the same time, these games still count. And they're, you know, one of 162 is the old saying. When as a ball player or somebody that was involved in that, do you think it really starts to matter?
Probably game 50.
Yeah.
Right around that time. You got to be at or around 500. You'd like to be above 500. You try to get two games above 500. Then you go to four. Then you go to six. And then, you know, you try to win a series two out of three. Then you go three out of five or something like that. And, you know, we knew going in from spring training, we already lost Cueto. We already lost Bailey.
Right.
And the guys that pitched well, I mean, the guy who's the number one starter is the guy that's having the most trouble. He can't get out of the first inning. And the thing about Mike Leake is I'm having my Twitter now, and it's like, I said, just plead stupid, you know. I mean, even Forrest wouldn't say blank happens, you know. I mean, that's just plead stupid.
Because the story now is that he went in, right?
I understand.
So he wasn't shoplifting. He went in with five T-shirts. And he pulled five off the rack. He couldn't get anybody to help him. He pulled five. We've all been there. He pulled five off the rack. I wouldn't do that. He took the security tags off the five. They caught him on the camera, saw him going out, and basically apprehended him out in the parking lot. That's stupid. I don't care what. That's not shoplifting.
Yeah, I mean, that's just take them all and pick them up and walk them all to the desk. And, you know,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
it takes 5 minutes.
It is. You can shoot a gun through a lot of these stores now where you can't find anybody to help you.
That is true.
And they seem
there.
To avoid you. If they see you coming, they go the other way because they really don't want to answer a question or anything else. But, you know, did they see him coming in with the shirts? Does he have the receipt?
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know, where are the shirts and what do they do and all the stuff? It's drama, but that's the thing that unfortunately is the headlines. We don't go to what Joey Votto is doing because, he's supposed to do that. Let's go on this story because now we can become investigative.
That's right.
So, but, you know, with Volquez, you know, his problems and everything else, Bruce not swinging the bat.
Yeah.
You know, and Roland's back, I think, is going to be hopefully he holds up. He's a real, real key to that offense. But now, game 50 is about when you really want to be around. I remember Alex Grandma's coming in the clubhouse, and he looked at me, and we were 25 and 25. And he looked at me, and he said, you guys are just joking, aren't you? And we won 41 out of the next 50. So it's not, you know, people don't do that. Teams don't do that except for the Big Red Machine. But it's something that you start to develop your rotation. I mean, the Cardinals got hit. Greinke went down for the Milwaukee. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, I mean, look at the standing. 9-9, 9-8, 8-9, 9-8.
That's right.
You know, it's just what you're going to get. And you know, we started the season really early. Dealing with weather, dealing with a lot of stuff, dealing with a lot of distractions. I'm pretty well convinced that as long as, you know, you don't get Milwaukee or St. Louis. St. Louis is, you know, they split with Washington yesterday.
That's right.
What are they, 8-9 or 9-8?
Just right there.
So they're all the same. I mean, as long as you don't get some team just shooting out there that you're really nervous about. The Cubs are playing halfway decent. When you say halfway decent, you look at their record and they're 9-9 or something. So it's right now you just don't want somebody to be – you know, 13-5 that you really have, think is the division going to be a division challenger?
Like, everybody's not afraid right now to see the Indians out there in front of people because they're not expecting.
Yeah, Kansas City, and they've,
Kansas
you know,
City.
They've done both. They've
everybody's
done it
not,
the last couple of years.
Your teams you played with, the Red Sox this year, when you start off and there's expectations are huge and you have that 3-8 start, or you have whatever they had, whatever it was, 2-10 or whatever it was, some ridiculously low, bad start.
I mean, the Rays. Rays are 99
or race,
now.
Or the Rays.
Yeah.
Does the tension get tough and tight? Did you ever have a time where the tension got tight in that clubhouse when you had that slow start? Or do those veterans know, like you say, hey, let's wait till we're 50 games into this thing. We're not even going to sweat it right now.
Well, the thing about it is it's when the leaves turn brown. Lee May used to say that. When the leaves turn brown, I will be around. He'd be hitting 160, and it's things, don't worry about me. I can handle it. It'll be okay by the time I get there. So I think it's important to that – you know that the ball club is good. You
yeah.
never worry about that. And you got to remember, there are times when you are facing some just happen to go into three series in a row that you're facing a team that's really hot pitching wise.
Right.
And, you know, they've got all their starters and they're really, really rolling right now. And then all of a sudden you wind up going back to a time where you'll go into two series and you get their 4-5 and, you know, 3-4-5 starter, and man, you just wax them. You
right.
just go right through them. I mean, when we used to play the Mets, you know, you went in there and, you know, if you got two or three hits, they say, well, you're in a slump. I said, no, I got three hits. I did a good job. I mean, that's facing Seaver, Kuzman, Madlock, and all. So you really do run into series where the matchups, you know, just don't coincide with your ball club, and their hitters against your pitchers and whatever. So let's get Bailey back. Let's get Cueto back. Let's settle down the rotation. We're getting some good starts.
Yeah, Boston pitched well.
He has pitched well.
Yeah,
you know, he gives you innings and everything else. He flips it up there and hits spots and changes speeds, and he's terrific leader. But you really do need, you know, to have an established. When you lose your basically 1-2-3 starter or 1-2 starter, you can almost interchange these guys. So it's not really, you know, something that we're concerned about. I even Twitter about it. Let's not get excited. You know, it's early and, you know, we're hit a little rough spot, but, you know.
You're tweeting.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have your own app. You're worldwide.
Well, we're going to be more than
you're
that.
You're cutting edge.
Actually, we're working on what's even more important is we're working on a visual neuro thing with the University of Cincinnati to develop checks and balances for concussions. We're actually
That's
working
wonderful.
On. We've already got apps out, and I mean visual aids that the Air Force Academy is using, the University of Cincinnati baseball is using. Academy raised their average 30 points last year. University of Cincinnati is up 50 points already this year. So we are training eyes. We are training the visual side of it. Well, the visual part of it, which is the eyes are the camera, which goes to the brain. The brain sends the signal to the nerves and muscles. What we're trying to do is being able to train athletes or anyone to improve. We can slow a 90-mile-an-hour fastball down to 85. And so now special forces are using it, pilots are using it. But more importantly, what we're trying to achieve is the reactionary time that with physically challenged people to a certain degree, why and how can we make their change? But what's really out there today is we will be able to measure anyone at their brain level to now figure out if they've had a concussion, when they will be able to come back, because we'll have levels of where they are and how to get that levels back. And if, like for myself, and I saw Terry Bradshaw was talking about it the other day, the NHL, I got hit in the head three times, beamed, and the trainer would come out and say, how many fingers do I have up? And he'd say, three, and he'd say, go to first. Now they carry him off in a stretcher and they're off for 6 months. So it's vital, but I would suspect that I have some kind of, you know, maybe head trauma a little bit because my short-term memory at times, or I don't want to remember. Maybe that would be the more reasonable thing to do, Keith.
That's what I go with.
Yeah, I mean, I just do that, but something slips away. Names and stuff go, and it just starts doing so many things. But if we can make all of this happen, we can measure that. And there's a nutritional and learning process that's already out there that we have
yeah.
that will actually get you back and repair, hopefully.
That concussion issue is a major deal in sports. I mean, you're talking about the NHL. That game is brutal, how big and fast those guys are in that confined space, and there's nowhere for guys to go.
Yeah, the percentages are about the same, though, amazingly, over the last decade. So, you know, even a helmet, you think,
yeah.
I mean, my helmet wasn't any better than the helmets they have wear up there today, but
right.
You get hit in the head now, and they lay on the ground. And I get, you know, in those days, you just got up because nobody was going to, they weren't going to take you out, so you might as well go down the first, especially if you're a catcher.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting hit in a foul ball in the cup, you couldn't find a trainer or a manager for a mile.
Yeah.
And they'd
running.
Run out to center field and pick up an outfielder running into the wall.
I saw a guy foul ball, and I forget where he was because I have the package on DirecTV, so I'm watching all these games at night. I saw a guy foul ball off the top of his knee the other night. And he could still walk, and he walked right over to the dugout, and that was it for him. In your day.
You're stealing a base.
You have to be.
That's right.
You're stealing on
that's
the first
right.
pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contusion. I mean, these guys,
it's a different
when you
day
look
now.
At these guys yeah. today, and I had tremendously strong legs, but you look at guys today, now they break bats over their, yeah. over their leg. How can a fastball be worse than a bat, breaking a bat over your leg? No, I mean, to break a bat, you go sit down.
Exactly.
Hey, so what's happening?
I'm getting hundreds of requests for you to give your Twitter address out. Folks want to follow you on Twitter. How do they find you?
It's Johnny_Bench5.
And what will we find you tweeting about besides baseball? What
I actually get off. I get on some tangents. I talked about being here today, and I talked about my striker appearances. I talk about the kids. I talk about Mike Leake because I knew a little bit of head. I mean, I did some investigation about the fact that he had replaced the shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So when I said plead stupid, people thought, wow, you're
really
head of the game.
Down on him,
and
right,
I,
right.
Well, but I knew that was the thing to do.
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
a stupid thing to do. And you just said it's okay. I mean, that's what you should be doing. So I just sort of, some people say I don't tweet enough. Other people, have not complained, but. You know, there's guys and gals and fans that sometimes talk about it, and I talk about get the Reds here and let's do this, and maybe we should look at concussions more, and I'm talking about Stryker and the ADM, so I don't know.
Stryker folks here, please.
Is there a booklet?
Here,
is
no,
there
the
a booklet? I don't know about tweeting. I mean, I'm making this up as I go. I got a 21-year-old that's sort of helping me.
Now, I bet that 21-year-old tweets about what they have for breakfast, lunch, dinner, what they're drinking right now, where
have
they're
going.
Have
you seen Brandon Phillips?
Now, how many does he have?
Oh, I don't. I mean,
does he?
He tweets, going out with my brawl over to the
restaurant. That's right.
And, having sushi. I mean, but people, I guess, love that. I mean,
there are a couple kids at Tennessee. One guy wrote on his Twitter. He wrote, "This teacher sucks. I hate this class." And I'm going, do these kids not know these people are going to read this later?
Yeah.
Well,
I got one from John Elway the other day. I mentioned him because we got a good friend. Bill Slifer that has survived some illness and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, but he's got like 77,000. So I just started. I got like 1,300 and
There you go.
And
that's pretty good.
It's just sort of a thing with the Reds and stuff and talk about the Hall of Famers. Harmon Killebrew has now got some esophageal problems with some cancer,
does.
And so
right.
I talked to him the other day. And it's just I don't know. If it's just sort of I'm probably boring, but. Hey, I'm. There's times when I go, I'm going to get on Leak, or I'm going to talk about, Bruce needs to be more hands than body and get him started. Just little things that I have fun with.
You know what I appreciate about you and I meeting you last year in New York, is that a lot of guys that played in your era are pretty bitter because they're not playing now, and the money's so great. And these guys are making, what some nations, the GDP of some nations to play. But you were a guy last year, you said, look, I played my era, was great. These guys are quality baseball players, Major League Baseball still quality baseball. You don't have that bitterness. I appreciate that,
I can't
John.
Do anything about it. We have three words. I got a book out called Catch Every Ball, How to Handle Life's Pitches. And, a phrase that actually Steve Gatlin told me one day and said something about I was playing golf and I did something. He said, get over it. I said, I like that. So I said, that's what it is. What are you going to do? I mean, swallow and, pity or whatever it is. It's nothing that you can do. We got a great life and there's great things that you can do. And if you, if you want to sit around and say nobody's given me an opportunity and then,
right.
Go stand in line and we'll be another socialist republic where it's somebody who can't give you what you want because you're not willing to work for it.
Hey,
yeah.
That said, in today's Major League Baseball, How many of those guys in your era that are on the mound now, especially these middle relievers, late relievers, would you love to have a crack at?
I'm going to tell you, you don't underestimate these kids. They're throwing 95. I mean, when you went to watch the World Series last year, I don't care. Texas Rangers had not seen five guys coming out of the bullpen throwing 95. I mean, they're bringing.
There's no doubt.
If you lost your job as a starter, you went to the bullpen. You know, you were just a reliever then back in our day. And I got to say, they're better athletes, they're better conditioned, they're throwing harder. And, you know, don't underestimate what these kids are doing. They are fabulous. And I'd like to have a crack, yeah, because if I had a crack, I'd be making $25 million a year. And my accountant called me and said, any chance you can make a comeback? And then I tried, but I pulled a muscle vacuuming. And it just set me back another 6 weeks. I mean, it's just like I can't get there.
Johnny, you're classic. Kiko, fire something at us.
What's happening with Tennessee? I mean,
boy, we're worried.
I wish you guys would figure out. You all in the news. You're in the news more than anybody.
Boy, that is really true.
We're trying to get some attention. That's all.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's all.
I'll tell you what I do. See, here's what I'm going to do. I'm either going to get some kind of. I got to figure out a way to get a drug sting. I want to get a drug sting or get a bunch of tats. Or I want to shoot somebody because I would love to have a reality show of my own. And that's the only way to do it.
That is true. Dress like a woman.
Something.
Like Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Some social deviant of some sort.
Get a
You're
bone.
Exactly right.
I am. I mean, you know, somehow I've got to get caught somewhere down somewhere
Johnny
doing
Vince
something.
Reality show.
Yeah, underneath scuba diving with a boat trying to
It'd
bring
be a great
in drugs
show.
From Yeah, and then we can work it out. I'll bring you guys along. It'd be a great sidekick.
But you're right about Tennessee, though.
Oh, man.
They can't stay out of the news.
No. Man,
and it's bad stuff. It's always bad stuff.
Hey, everybody does. It's just now focused. And then, you know, some people didn't like Pearl. And some people didn't like
this.
We got Tennessee basketball now. And you got Lady, you know, Pat wants to, you know, get back to where Connecticut is. And she's such a wonderful coach and everything else. But
aren't we lucky to have her?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, but now
we don't have her, brother. What do we have?
Yeah, but this is the way sports is and fandom is. You know, if she doesn't win next year, they'll be calling for her head.
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying some people will.
Yeah.
Which is stupid,
Tell
but
me.
That's what they do. Did
well,
you call for her head?
That's talk radio. We're just having fun.
You're trying to create somebody calling in. Some kind of controversy.
Exactly. We need controversy.
Controversy. What are you doing? You got my app up over there.
You got
my website. I got JohnnyBench.com. I got the web app.
This big fancy iPad right here. iPad 2, folks, not iPad 1.
Ask me some. I've got a second.
It's pretty exciting because, you know, I'm a big fan, of course. And
we
so
didn't
Tony,
update that enough, and I apologize. We're going to get to that.
I've definitely turned this thing around and let all the folks walking through here see your app, and hopefully you'll get
a lot
more.
You have your own app.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Think about that. Hall of Fame is one thing.
Part of the company, so I can.
But
you know.
Hall of Fame is one thing. Having your own app, though,
that's
arriving.
Hey, this is an install
minute,
for free, people.
Do you want an app?
I'd
Do
love
you
an
want
app.
An app?
I would love an app.
You know, for with the Arcanu company, NEAD, Ego App Development. You can have your own website for.
Will
probably
they trade
individually
it?
For about $300.
Will they trade it for
and
advertising?
And then you can have your own app, and you can put up anything that you want.
Will they trade it for advertising?
No.
Oh.
Well, we might.
There's some great pictures
I mean,
out here.
You have to have some ability to
Do you have anything on YouTube or anything else that you can put up there or an event that you're going to do? You got all your events. They can follow you. They can do everything that you want.
I don't know if I want people following me, Johnny.
Well, you have to. You're outside of this. Do you just go home after you leave here?
Well, you notice all the security we have.
Go home and go to sleep.
You see all the security
we
have.
Oh, yeah. I saw the guards at the door.
Yeah. Griffey follows me everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm his security today.
Yes,
but that's what we are. We're in a new era. So I'm working on the visual. I got the apps. I got some stuff. And we're working with cities. We're working with major corporations to develop all this. We're actually working with a couple of people to develop new record labels. They'll be able to do off the record.
Are you going to do some rapping?
It'll sell. No.
If you get the tats.
Yeah. No. Yeah. After I get the tats and the piercings.
You'll come back in the fall and watch a Tennessee game with us.
You know what? Who was complaining yesterday? Somebody, our doctor that came in, Dr. Carl, Mark, DeMarc, DeCarbo.
Yeah,
Markle.
Markle. Yes.
Markle and Farkle. I couldn't remember. And it was like, so I told you I had this short-term thing. So he's complaining because you built 600 more seats than up at the University of Michigan, so you'd have the largest thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't like crowds. What would I do?
No, we'll
that is a good point. If you don't like crowds.
Popcorn, I got a great TV in the living room.
Well, we got people. We can get you up there where you're private.
Well, I don't care about being private, but I just, you know, it's just a matter of just.
Wow, Kiko,
so
you never showed me your people.
Well, you
how come I don't get the people?
It's on a need-to-know basis.
Interesting.
So
yeah, because you always
reaching
go
out
after
to him.
The show. You're supposed to be doing
this,
stuff,
this is,
remotes
great,
and stuff.
Man.
Even
thanks, I appreciate
this
that.
This is Hall of Famer, Johnny Bench. Let me introduce
he has
you.
His own app.
Let me introduce
yes.
you.
Hey, Johnny, thanks for stopping by today.
Am I done? Yes, okay.
Yeah, your seminar's
oh,
about
there we
to
are.
Start. Great,
yes,
hey,
we are.
Great seeing you.
What a pleasure.
Thanks.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys.
And good luck in the Twittersphere as well.
Hey, it's going to be fun. You know, they got the thing out there so they can follow and... And we'll make something happen.
As we take a brief
thank
time
you out. For helping us. We appreciate it.
Oh,
Stryker.
Yeah.
AboutStryker.com if you need to go in for information.
What was it again?
AboutStryker.com or 1-800-STRYKER. You can go in and get all the information you want. 888-STRYKER. That's right. 888-STRYKER.
Here they come, Johnny.
Why not?
They're
why not?
They see you. They're coming
yeah,
to see
the food's
you.
In there. We'll be right with you.
Yes, I'm about to food.
Hey, let us know the menu.
As we take a brief time out and come back with more on your other side after this.